in the tent were gorgeous, renowned as much for their incredible beauty as their devastating power. But as the young Jedi drew closer, he found he was unable to take his eyes off her. There was something magnetic about her, something that transcended mere physical attractiveness. She carried her head high, her proud features issuing an unspoken challenge as she approached. And Kopesh saw something else. Naked ambition, raw and hungry. At his side, Khan whispered, "Remarkable, isn't she?" She reached the front of the tent and dipped smoothly to one knee, bowing her head ever so slightly in deference to Lord Khan. "Welcome, Githany," he said, motioning for her to rise. "We've been waiting for you."
"It's my pleasure, Lord Khan,"
she purred. Kopesh felt his knees go momentarily weak at her sensual voice, then snapped to rigid attention. He was too old and too wise to let himself be blinded by this woman's charms. He cared only about what she could offer them against the Jedi. "You have information for us?" he asked abruptly. She tilted her head to one side and gave him a curious glance, trying to find the reason for his cold reception. After a moment's pause, she answered,
"I can tell you exactly where to strike at their lines, and when."
Lord Hoth put a Jedi named Keel Charney in charge of coordinating their defenses. I got the information directly from him.
"Why would this Charney share that kind of information with you?"
Kopesh asked suspiciously. She gave him a sly grin. "Keel and I were close. We shared many things."
"He had no idea I would come to you with the information."
Kopesh narrowed his eyes.
"I thought the Jedi disapproved of that sort of thing."
Her smile became a sneer.
"The Jedi disapprove of a lot of things. That's why I've come to you."
Khan stepped forward before he could ask any more questions, placing a familiar hand on her hip and turning her away from Kopesh. "We don't have time for this, Githany," he said. "You must give us your report and return to the Jedi camp before anyone notices you're missing." She flashed a dazzling smile at Khan and nodded.
"Of course. We have to hurry."
He gently ushered her over to the holomap, and another strategist closed in, shielding her from view as she gave them the details of the Jedi Guard. A few seconds later, Khan emerged from the crowd and walked back over to stand beside Kopesh.
"Ambition, betrayal. The dark side is strong in her,"
the Twi'lek whispered.
"I'm surprised the Jedi ever took her in."
"They probably believed they could turn her to the light,"
Khan replied, speaking just as softly.
"But Githany was born to the dark side. Like me. Like you. It was inevitable she would join the Sith someday."
"The timing is fortunate,"
Kopesh noted.
"Maybe a little too fortunate. It may be a trap. Are you sure we can trust her? I think she's dangerous."
Khan dismissed the warning with a soft laugh.
"So are you, Lord Kopesh. That's what makes you so useful to the Brotherhood."
Bane was floating, weightless, surrounded by darkness and silence. It seemed he was adrift in the black void of death itself. Then consciousness began to return. His body jerked from blissful unawareness, thrashed in the dark green fluid of the Bacta tank, creating a stream of bubbles that rose silently to the surface. His heart began to pound. He could hear the blood rushing through his veins. His eyes popped open in time to see a med droid come over to adjust some of the settings on his tank. Within seconds, his heart rate slowed, and the involuntary thrashing of his bruised and broken limbs settled. But though his body was calmed by the tranquilizer, Bane's mind was now fully alert and aware. Memories of motion and pain flickered across his mind. The sights, sounds, and smells of combat. He remembered the approach of blood-stained boots. His blood. Kasim must have stepped in after he'd blacked out and kept Sirak from killing him. They must have brought him here to heal. At first, he was surprised that they would bother to help him recover. Then he realized that he, like all the students at the academy, was too valuable to the Brotherhood to simply throw away. So he would survive, but his life was essentially over.
Since coming to the academy, he had worked toward one clear goal. All his studying, all his training had been for one single purpose: to understand and command the power of the dark side of the Force. The dark side would bring him power, glory, strength, freedom. Now, he would be a pariah at the academy. He would be allowed to listen in on the group lessons, to practice the skills in Cassim's training sessions, but that would be all. Any hope he might have had of getting one-on-one training with any of the masters had been crushed in his humiliating defeat. And without that specializing guidance, his potential would wither and die. In theory, all in the Brotherhood were equal, but Bane was smart enough to see the real truth. In practice, the Sith needed leaders. Masters like Khan or Lord Cordis here at the Academy. The strong always stepped forward. The weak had no choice but to follow. Now Bane was doomed to be one of the followers. A life of subservience and obedience. Through victory, my chains are broken. But Bane had not found victory, and he understood all too well the chains of servitude that would bind him forevermore. He was destroyed. Part of him wished Sirak had just finished the job. Chapter 14. There was an air of unusual celebration in the halls of the Sith Academy. The Brotherhood of Darkness had scored a resounding victory over the Jedi on Rusan, and the jubilation of the feast Cordis had thrown to mark the victory lingered in the air. During training sessions, drills, and lessons, students could be heard whispering excitedly as details of the battle were shared. The Jedi on Rusan had been completely wiped out, some said. Others insisted Lord Hoth himself had fallen. There were rumors that the Jedi Temple on Coruscant was defenseless, and it was only a matter of days before it was ransacked by the Dark Lords of the Sith. The Masters knew that much of what was being said was exaggerated or inaccurate. The Jedi on Rusan had been routed, but a great many had managed to escape the battle. Lord Hoth was not dead. Most likely, he was rallying the Jedi for the inevitable counterattack. And the Jedi Temple on Coruscant was still well beyond the reach of Khan and the Brotherhood of Darkness. On the orders of Cordis, however, the instructors allowed the enthusiasm of their apprentices to go unchecked for the sake of improving morale. The exultant mood at the academy had little effect on Bane, however. It had taken 3 weeks of regular sessions in the Bacta tank before he'd fully recovered from the horrific beating Sirak had given him. Most of the time, a loss in the dueling ring required only a day or two in the tanks before the student was ready to resume training. Of course, most of the students didn't lose as badly as Bane had. Hurst had been free with his fists, and Bane had suffered more than a few severe thrashings growing up. The punishments of his youth had taught him how to deal with physical pain, but the trauma inflicted by Sirak was far worse than anything he'd endured at his father's hands. Bane shuffled slowly down the halls of the academy, though his measured pace was one of choice rather than necessity. The lingering discomfort he felt was insignificant. Thanks to the Bacta tanks, his broken bones had mended and his bruises had vanished completely. The emotional damage, however, was more difficult to reverse. A pair of laughing apprentices approached, regaling each other with supposedly factual accounts of the Sith victory on Rusan. Their conversation stopped as they neared the solitary figure. Bane ducked his head to avoid meeting their eyes as they passed. One whispered something unintelligible, but the contempt in her tone was unmistakable. Bane didn't react. He was dealing with the emotional pain in the only way he knew how, the same way he dealt with it as a child. He withdrew into himself, tried to make himself invisible to avoid the scorn and derision of others. His defeat, so public and so complete, had destroyed his already suspect reputation with both the students and the masters. Even before the duel, many had sensed that his power had left him. Now their suspicions had been confirmed. Bane had become an outcast at the academy, shunned by the other students and disregarded by the masters. Even Sirak ignored him. He had beaten his rival into submission, Bane was no longer worthy of his notice. The Zabrak's attention, like the attention of nearly all the apprentices, had turned to the young human female who had come to join them shortly after the battle on Rusan. Her name was Githany. Bane had heard that she had once been a Jedi Padawan, but had rejected the light in favor of the dark side. A common enough story at the Academy. Githany, however, was anything but common. She had played an integral role in the Sith victory on Rusan, and had arrived at Korriban with the fanfare of a conquering hero. Bane hadn't been strong enough to attend the victory feast, where Cordis had introduced the new arrival to the rest of the students, but he had seen her several times at the Academy since then. She was stunningly beautiful. It was obvious that many of the male students lusted after her. It was just as obvious that several of the female students were jealous of her, though they kept their resentment well hidden for their own sake. Githany was as arrogant and cruel as she was physically becoming, and the Force was exceptionally strong in her. In only a few weeks, she'd already developed a reputation for crushing those who got in her way. It was no surprise she quickly became a favorite of Cordis and the other Dark Lords. None of this really mattered to Bane, however. He trudged on through the halls, head down, making his way to the library, located in the depths of the Academy. Studying the archives had seemed the best way to supplement the teachings of the Masters in the early stages of his development. Now the cold, quiet room far beneath the temple's main floors offered him his only place of refuge. Not surprisingly, the massive room was empty, save for the rows of shelves stacked with manuscripts, haphazardly arranged and then forgotten. Few students bothered to come here. Why waste time contemplating the wisdom of the ancients when you could study at the feet of an actual Dark Lord? Even Bane came here only as a last resort. The Masters wouldn't waste their time on him anymore. But as he perused the ancient texts, a part of him he'd thought dead began to reawaken. The inner fire, the burning rage that had always been his secret reserve, was gone. Still, even if only faintly, the dark side called to him, and Bane realized that he wasn't ready to give up on himself, and so he gave himself up to studying. It wasn't permissible for students to remove records from the archive room, so Bane did all his reading there. Yesterday, he had finally completed a rather long and detailed treatise by an ancient Sith Lord named Naga Sadao on the uses of alchemy and poisons. Even in that, he had found small kernels of deeper wisdom he had claimed for his own. Bit by bit, his knowledge was growing. He walked slowly up and down the rows, glancing at titles and authors, hoping to find something useful. He was so intent on his search that he failed to notice the dark, hooded figure that entered the archives and stood silently in the doorway, watching him. Githany didn't say a word as the tall, broad-shouldered man wandered through the archives. He was physically imposing. Even under his loose-fitting robes, his muscles were obvious. Concentrating as she had been taught by the Jedi Masters before she betrayed them, she was able to feel the power of the dark side in him. He was remarkably strong in the Force. Yet, he didn't carry himself like a man who was strong or powerful. Even here, away from the eyes of anyone else, he walked stooped over, his shoulders hunched. This was what Sirak could do to a rival, she realized. This was what he could do to her if she went up against him and lost. Githany had every intention of challenging the Academy's acknowledged top student, but only once she was certain she could beat him in the dueling ring. She had sought out Bane, hoping to learn from his mistakes. Seeing him now, weak and broken, she realized she might be able to get more from him than just information. Normally, she would be wary of allying herself with another student, particularly one as strong as Bane. Githany preferred to work alone. She knew all too well how devastating the consequences of unexpected betrayal could be. But the man she saw was vulnerable, exposed. He was alone and desperate. He was in no position to betray anyone. She could control him, using him as necessary and disposing of him when she was done. He took a book down from one of the shelves and walked slowly over to the tables. She waited until he had settled himself in and begun his reading. She took a deep breath and cast back her hood, letting her long tresses cascade down her shoulders. Then she put on her most seductive smile and moved in. Bane carefully opened the pages of the ancient volume he'd taken down from the archive shelves. It was titled The Rakata and the Unknown World, and according to the date, was nearly 3,000 standard years old. But it wasn't the title or subject matter that had grabbed him. It was the author, Darth Revan. Revan's story was well known to Sith and Jedi alike. What intrigued Bane was the use of the Darth title. None of the modern Sith used the Darth name, preferring the designation Dark Lord. Bane had always found this puzzling, but he had never asked the Masters about it. Perhaps in this volume, by one of the last great Sith to use the designation, he could find out why the tradition had fallen into disuse. He had barely begun to read the first page when he heard someone approaching. He glanced up to see the Academy's newest apprentice, Githany, striding toward him. She was smiling, making her already remarkable features even more attractive. In the past, Bane had only seen her from a distance. Up close, she literally took his breath away. As she swept into the seat beside him, the faintest whiff of perfume tickled his nose, causing his already racing heart to quicken its beat. "Bane," she whispered, speaking softly, even though there was no one else in the archives to be disturbed by their conversation. "I've been looking for you." Her statement caught him by surprise.
"Looking for me? Why?"
She placed a hand on his forearm. "I need you. I need your help against Sirak." Her closeness, the brief contact with his arm, and her alluring fragrance set his head spinning. It took him several moments to figure out what she meant. But once he did, her sudden interest in him became obvious. News of his humiliation at the Zebrak's hands had reached her ears. She had come to see him in person, hoping she might learn something that would keep her from falling victim to a similar failure.
"I can't help you with Sirak,"
he said, turning away from her and burying his face in his book. The hand on his forearm gently squeezed, and he looked up again. She had leaned in closer, and he found himself staring right into her emerald eyes. "Please, Bane, just listen to what I have to say." He nodded, not sure if he'd even be able to speak while she was pressed so close against him. He closed the book and turned slightly in his chair to better face her. Githany gave a grateful sigh and leaned back slightly. He felt a small flicker of disappointment as her hand slipped from his arm. "I know what happened to you in the dueling ring," she began. "I know everyone believes Sirak destroyed you, that somehow the defeat robbed you of your power. I can see you believe it too." Her face had taken on an expression of sorrow, not pity, thankfully. Bane didn't want that from anyone, especially not her. But she showed genuine regret as she spoke. When he didn't reply, she took a deep breath and continued. "They're wrong, Bane. You can't just lose your ability to command the Force. None of us can. The Force is part of us. It's part of our being. I heard accounts of what you did to that McCurth. That showed what you were capable of. It revealed your true potential. It proved you were blessed with a mighty gift." She paused. Her gaze was intense. "You may believe you've squandered that gift or lost it, but I know better. I can sense the power inside you. I can feel it. It's still there." Bane shook his head. "The power may be there, but my ability to control it is gone. I'm not what I used to be." "That's not possible," she said, her voice gentle. "How can you believe that?" Though he knew the answer, he hesitated before replying. It was a question he had asked himself countless times while floating in the weightless fluid of the Bacta tank. After his defeat, he'd had plenty of opportunity to struggle with his failure. And he'd eventually come to realize what had gone wrong, though not how to fix it. He wasn't sure he wanted to share his personal revelation with a virtual stranger. But who else was he going to tell? Not the other students, certainly not the masters. And even though he hardly knew Githany, she had reached out to him. She was the only one to do so. Exposing personal weakness was something only a fool or an idiot would risk here at the academy. Yet the hard truth was that Bane had nothing left to lose.
All my life I've been driven by my anger, he explained.
He spoke slowly, staring down at the surface of the table, unable to look her in the eye.
My anger made me strong. It was my connection to the Force and the dark side. When Forhawk died, when I killed him, I realized I was responsible for my father's death. I killed him through the power of the dark side.
And you felt guilty? She asked, once again placing a soft hand on his arm.
No, maybe. I don't know.
Her hand was warm. He could feel the heat radiating through the fabric of his sleeve to his skin underneath.
All I know is that the realization changed me. The anger that drove me was gone. All that was left behind was, well, nothing.
Give me your hand. Her voice was stern, and Bane hesitated only an instant before reaching out. She clasped his palm with both her hands. Close your eyes, she ordered, even as she shut her own. In the darkness, he became acutely aware of how tightly she had clenched his hand, squeezing the flesh so hard he could feel the beating of her heart through her palms. It was quick and urgent, and his already racing heart accelerated in response. He felt a tingling in his fingers, something beyond mere physical contact. She was reaching out with the Force. Come with me, Bane, she whispered. Suddenly, he felt as if he were falling. No, not falling. Diving. Swooping down into a great abyss. The black emptiness inside his very being. The chill darkness numbed his body. He lost all sensation in his extremities. He could no longer feel Githany's hands wrapped about his own. He didn't even know if she was still sitting beside him. He was alone in the freezing void. The dark side is emotion, Bane. Her words came to him from a long way off, faint but unmistakable. Anger, hate, love, lust. These are what make us strong. Peace is a lie. There is only passion. Her words were louder now, loud enough to drown out the drumming of his heart. Your passion is still there, Bane. Seek it out. Reclaim it. As if in response to her words, his emotions began to well up inside him. He felt anger, fury, pure, pulsing hatred. Hatred of the other students for ostracizing him. Hatred of the masters for abandoning him. Most of all, he hated Sirak. And with the hate came the hunger for revenge. Then he felt something else. A spark, a flicker of light and heat in the cold darkness. His mind lunged out and grasped the flame, and for one brief instant, he felt the glorious power of the Force burning through him once more. Then Githany let go of his hand and it was gone, snuffed out, as if he had merely imagined it. But he hadn't. It was real. He'd actually felt it. He opened his eyes wearily, like a man waking from a dream he was afraid to forget. From the expression on Githany's face, he knew she must have felt something too.
How did you do that?
He asked, trying and failing to keep the desperation out of his voice. Master Handa taught me when I was studying under him in the Jedi Order, she admitted. I lost touch with the Force once, just as you have. I was still a young girl when it happened. My mind simply couldn't cope with something so vast and infinite. It created a wall to protect itself. Bane nodded, remaining fervently silent so she could continue. Your anger is still there, as is the Force. Now, you must break through the walls you've built around it. You have to go back to the beginning and learn how to connect with the Force once more.
How do I do that?
Training, Githany answered, as if it was obvious. How else does one learn to use the Force? The faint hope her revelation had kindled inside him died.
The Masters won't train me anymore, he mumbled. Cordis has forbidden it.
I will train you, Githany said coyly. I can share with you everything I learned from the Jedi about the Force. And whatever I learn about the dark side from the Masters, I can teach to you as well.
Bane hesitated. Githany was no master, yet she had trained as a Jedi for many years. She probably knew much about the Force that would be new to him. At the very least, he'd learn more with her help than without it. And yet, something bothered him about her offer.
Why are you doing this?
He asked. She gave him a sly smile. Still don't trust me.
Good. You shouldn't. I'm only in this for myself. I can't defeat Sirak on my own. He's too strong.
They say he's the Sithari,
Bane muttered. I don't believe in prophecies, she countered. But he has powerful allies, and the others of Brack apprentices here are completely loyal to him. If I'm ever going to challenge him, I need somebody on my side. Somebody strong in the Force. Somebody like you.
Her reasons made sense, but there was still something bothering him. Lord Cordis and the other Masters wouldn't approve of this.
He warned her.
You're taking an awful risk.
Risks are the only way to claim the rewards, she replied.
Besides, I don't care what the Masters think. In the end, those who survive are the ones who look after themselves.
It took Bane a second to realize why her words sounded so familiar. Then he remembered the last thing Groshek had said to him before he left Apatros. In the end, each of us is in this alone. The survivors are those who know how to look out for themselves.
You help me regain the Force, and I'll help you against Sirak, he said, extending his arm.
She clasped it in her own, then stood up to leave. Bane held his grip, forcing her to sit back down. There was a dangerous glint in her eye, but he didn't let go.
Why did you leave the Jedi?
He asked. Her expression softened, and she shook her head. She extended her free hand and placed it gently on his cheek.
I don't think I'm quite ready to share that with you.
He nodded. He didn't need to push her now, and he knew he hadn't earned the right yet. The hand on his cheek fell away, and he let go of her arm. She gave him one last appraising glance, then rose and walked away with brisk, purposeful strides. She never glanced back. But Bane was content to follow her swaying hips until she was out of sight. Githany knew he was watching her make her exit. Men always watched her. She was used to it. All in all, she felt the meeting had gone well. For a split second at the end, when he'd refused to let go of her arm, she had wondered if she'd underestimated him. His defiance had caught her off guard. She'd expected someone weak and subservient. But once she'd looked into his eyes, she'd realized he was clinging to her out of desperation and fear. One single meeting, and he already couldn't bear to let her go. Even though she'd been with the Sith only a short time, the ways of the dark side came naturally to her. She felt no pity or sorrow for him. His vulnerability only made him easier to control. And unlike the Jedi, the Brotherhood of Darkness rewarded ambition. Each rival she brought low proved her worth and elevated her status within the Sith. Bane would make the perfect tool to bring her rivals down, she thought. He was incredibly strong in the Force, even stronger than she'd first realized. She'd been amazed at the power she felt inside him. And now he was completely wrapped around her finger. She just had to make sure he stayed that way. She'd bring him along slowly, always keeping him just behind her own abilities. It was a dangerous game, but one she knew she could play well. Knowledge was power, and she alone controlled what knowledge he would gain. She'd teach him, string him along, twist him to her will, then use him to crush Sirak. And then, if she felt Bane was growing too powerful, she'd destroy him too. Night had fallen over Korriban. Sputtering torches cast eerie shadows in the halls of the academy. Bane made his way through those halls, wrapped in a black cloak, little more than a shadow himself. It was forbidden for apprentices to leave their rooms after curfew. One of the steps Cordis had taken to reduce the unexplained deaths that seemed to be all too common in academies populated by rival students of the dark side. Bane knew that if he was caught, the punishment would be severe. But this was the only time he could act without fear of being seen by the other students. He wound his way through the dormitory floor that housed the students until he reached the stairway leading to the upper levels and the master's quarters. He glanced quickly from side to side, peering into the flickering shadows cast on the stone walls. He paused, listening for the sound of anyone who might catch him in the halls. He had memorized the routes of the night sentries who patrolled the corridors after dark. He knew it would be almost an hour before they returned to this floor of the temple. But there were many other underlings, kitchen staff, cleaning staff, groundskeepers, who served the needs of the academy and might be wandering about. Hearing only silence, he proceeded up the stairs. He made his way quickly past the personal quarters of Cordis, somewhat relieved to see that even the Sith Master felt the need to close and lock his door at night. He continued on past another half a dozen doors, pausing only when he reached the entrance to the Blade Master's room. He knocked once softly, careful not to wake the others. Before he could knock a second time, the door swung open to reveal the Twi'lek. For a split second, Bane thought he must have been standing on the other side, waiting for him. But that was impossible, of course. More likely, the Blade Master's highly tuned reflexes had reacted to the first knock so quickly that he had already crossed the room and opened the door by the time the second rap came. He was clad in a pair of pants, but his torso was bare, showing his scarred and tattooed chest. His confused expression confirmed Bane's assumption that the Blade Master hadn't known he was coming, and the speed with which he reached out to grab Bane and haul him inside the room confirmed his suspicions about his extraordinary reflexes. Before Bane even realized what was happening, the door was closed and locked behind him, sealing the two of them together in the small dark room. His host lit a small glow rod on a stand by the bed and turned to glare at his uninvited guest. "What are you doing here?" he hissed, keeping his voice low. Bane hesitated, uncertain how much to tell him. He had been thinking about Githany's offer and what she had said to him. He had decided she was right. He had to look out for himself if he was to survive. That meant he had to be the one to bring Sirak down, not her. "I want you to train me again," Bane whispered. "I want you to teach me all you know about the art of lightsaber combat." Cassim shook his head in response, but Bane thought he sensed a brief hesitation before he did so. "Cordis will never allow it. He has made it very clear that none of the masters is to waste any more time on you."
"I didn't think you answered to Cordis," Bane countered. "Aren't all the masters equal in the Brotherhood of Darkness?"
It was a blatant appeal to the Blade Master's pride, and the Twi'lek easily recognized it for what it was. He smiled, amused at Bane's boldness.
"True enough," he admitted. "But here on Korriban, the other lords defer to Cordis. It avoids complications."
"Cordis doesn't have to know," Bane pointed out, taking heart in the fact that Cassim hadn't flat-out refused him yet. "Train me in secret. We can meet at night on the temple roof."
"Why should I do this?"
the Twi'lek asked, crossing his muscular arms.
"You ask for the teachings of a Sith Lord, but what are you offering me in return?"
"You know my potential," Bane pressed. "Cordis has cast me aside. If I succeed now, he cannot take the credit. If I become an expert warrior for the Brotherhood, Lord Khan will know you were the one who trained me. And if I fail, no one will ever suspect your part in this. You have nothing to lose."
"Nothing but my time," the other replied, scratching his chin. "You've lost your will to fight. You proved that against Sirak."
His leku were quivering ever so slightly, and Bane took it as a sign that, despite his words, he was seriously considering the offer. Again, Bane hesitated. How much did he dare to reveal? He still planned to let Githany teach him about the Force and the ways of the dark side, but he realized that if she was his only teacher, he would forever be beneath her in power. If he wanted to be the one to take out Sirak, he'd need Cassim to help him, and he'd need to keep her from finding out.
My will to fight is back,
he finally said, deciding not to reveal Githany's involvement in his sudden resurrection.
I'm ready to embrace the power of the dark side.
Cassim nodded.
Why are you doing this?
Bane knew this was the final test. Cassim was a Dark Lord of the Sith. His talent and skill were reserved for those who would one day rise up and join the Masters in the Brotherhood of Darkness. He wanted more than proof that Bane was truly ready for this. He wanted proof that Bane was worthy.
I want revenge,
Bane replied, after careful consideration.
I want to destroy Sirak. I want to crush him like an insect beneath the heel of my boot.
The Blade Master smiled in grim satisfaction at his answer.
We will begin tomorrow.
Chapter 15. Bane made his way down the hall with careful, measured steps. But though his pace was somber and subdued, his mood was one of elated triumph. In the weeks since his fateful meeting with Githany, his situation had turned around completely. As promised, she was teaching him. The first few sessions had gone slowly, as she'd helped him work through his mind's fear of its own potential. Bit by bit, the black veil had been torn away. Piece by piece, she was helping him reclaim what he had lost, until once again, he felt the power of the dark side coursing through his veins. Since then, the training had gone much more quickly. His hunger for revenge drove his studies. It fueled his ability to use the Force. It enabled him to understand the lessons that the Masters had taught Githany and she had then passed on to him. Despite being ignored by the instructors, he was once again learning everything the other apprentices were being taught, and learning it rapidly. As another student passed, Bane bowed his head, keeping up the pretense of subservience. It was important that none of the others suspected anything had changed. He kept his training with Githany hidden from everyone, even Cassim, just as the Blade Master's training was kept secret from her. Cassim knew he was growing more formidable with the blade, but didn't know he was making similar strides in other areas. Githany could see his progress in unleashing his true potential with the Force, but wasn't aware he was also mastering the intricacies of lightsaber combat. As a result, they were both likely to underestimate the full scope of his abilities. Bane liked the subtle edge that gave him. His days were now filled with study and training. In the darkest hours before morning's first light, he would meet Cassim to practice drills and techniques. He would meet with Githany in the archives in the midday, where she could share instruction with him without fear of interruption or discovery. And whenever he wasn't training with Cassim or studying with Githany, he read the ancient texts. Another apprentice approached, and Bane moved to the side, projecting an image of weakness and fear to hide his remarkable metamorphosis. He waited until the other apprentice's footsteps faded away before heading down the stairs toward the tomes in the temple's lowest levels. Cordis or one of the other masters might have been able to pierce the false front he projected and sense his true power were they not blinded by their own arrogance. They had dismissed him as a failure. Now he was beneath their notice. Fortunately, this anonymity suited Bane just fine. He hardly slept at all anymore. It seemed his body no longer needed sleep. It fed on his growing command of the dark side. An hour or two of meditation each day was enough to keep his body energized and his mind invigorated. He consumed knowledge with the appetite of a starving rancor, devouring everything he got from his secret mentors and always hungering for more. The Blade Master was amazed at his progress. And even Githany, despite her years of study with the Jedi, was hard-pressed to keep ahead of him. Everything he learned from them, he supplemented with the wisdom of the ancients. On his first arrival, He had sensed the value of the archives, only to turn his back on them as he had been drawn into the daily routine and intense lessons of the academy. Now he understood that his initial instincts had been right after all. The knowledge contained in the yellowed parchments and leather-bound manuscripts was timeless. The Force was eternal. And though the masters at the academy now walked a different path than their Sith forebears had, they all sought answers in the dark side. He smiled at the irony of this life. He was the outcast, the student Cordis had wanted left behind. Yet, with Githany, Cassim, and his own study of the archives, he was receiving far more education than any other apprentice on Korriban. The truth would be revealed soon enough. When the time was right, Sirak would discover that he had underestimated Bane. They all would.
Excellent,
Cassim said, as Bane blocked the Dark Lord's flurry and countered with one of his own. He didn't actually score a direct hit, but he did force the Blademaster to take a full step back under the fury of his assault. Suddenly the Twi'lek leapt high in the air, spinning and twisting so he could lash down at Bane as he flipped over the top of him. Bane was ready, switching from offense to defense so smoothly it all seemed to be a single action. He parried both blades of Cassim's weapon, even as he ducked out of the way and rolled clear to safety. He spun to face his foe, only to see that Cassim had lowered his weapon, signifying the end of the lesson.
Very good, Bane, the Twi'lek said, giving him a slight bow. I thought you might be caught off guard by that move, but you were able to anticipate and defend it with near perfect form.
Bane basked in his master's praise, but he was sorry to know the session was over. He was breathing hard, his muscles glistening with sweat and twitching with adrenaline, yet he felt as if he could have continued fighting for hours. Sparring and drills had become much more than mere physical exertion for him now. Each movement, every strike and thrust had become an extension of the Force acting through the corporeal shell of his flesh and bone body. He longed to engage another opponent in the dueling ring. He hungered for the challenge of testing himself against the other apprentices. But it wasn't time. Not yet. He still wasn't good enough to defeat Sirak, and until he could take the Zabrak down, he had to keep his rapidly developing talent hidden. Cassim tossed him a towel. Bane was pleased to see that the Twi'lek was sweating too, though nowhere near as profusely as he was.
Do you have anything you want me to work on for tomorrow? Bane asked eagerly. A new sequence, a new form, anything?
You've moved far beyond sequences and forms, the master told him. In that last pass, you broke off your attack in the middle of one sequence and came at me from a completely different and unexpected angle.
I did?
Bane was surprised.
I didn't really mean to.
That's what made it such a potentially devastating move,
Cassim explained.
You're letting the Force guide your blade now. You act without thought or reason. You're driven by passion, fury, anger, even hate. Your saber has become an extension of the dark side.
Bane couldn't help smiling, but then his brow furrowed in consternation. I still couldn't get past your defenses, he said, trying to recreate the battle in his mind. No matter what he had tried to do, it seemed one side of the Twi'lek's twin-bladed weapon was always there to parry his attack. A seed of doubt crept into his mind as he recalled that Sirak used a similar style of weapon. Does the double-bladed lightsaber give you an advantage? He asked.
It does, but not in the way you believe,
Cassim replied. Bane was silent, waiting patiently for further explanation. After a few seconds, his master obliged him.
As you already know, the Force is the real key to victory in any confrontation. However, the equation is not so simple. Someone well-trained in lightsaber combat can defeat an opponent who is stronger than the Force. The Force allows you to anticipate your opponent's moves and counter them with your own, but the more options your foe has available, the more difficult it is to predict which will be chosen.
Bane thought he understood. So the double-bladed weapon gives you more options?
No. Cassim replied. But you think it does. so the effect is the same.
For several seconds, Bane thought about the Blade Master's strange words, trying to decipher them. In the end, he had to admit defeat.
I still don't understand, Master.
You know the single-bladed lightsaber well. You use it yourself, and you've seen most of the other apprentices use it as well. My double-bladed weapon seems strange to you, unfamiliar. You don't fully understand what it can and cannot do. From the lack of impatience or exasperation in the Twi'lek's tone, Bane could tell this was something he hadn't been expected to grasp on his own. In combat, your mind tries to keep track of each blade separately, effectively doubling the number of possibilities. But the two blades are connected. By knowing the location of one, you are automatically aware of the location of the other. In actual practice, the double-bladed lightsaber is more limited than the traditional lightsaber. It can do more damage, but it is less precise. It requires longer sweeping movements that don't transition well into a quick stab or thrust. Because the weapon is difficult to master, however, few among the Jedi or even the Sith understand it. They don't know how to attack or defend effectively against it. That gives those of us who use it an advantage over most of our opponents.
Like Githany's whip, Bane exclaimed. Githany eschewed traditional weaponry in favor of the very rare energy whip, just one of the many traits that made her stand out from the other apprentices. It operated on the same basic principles as a lightsaber, but instead of a steady beam, the energy of the crystals was projected in a flexible ribbon that would twist, turn, and snap in response to both Githany's physical motions and her use of the Force.
Exactly. The energy whip is far less efficient than any of the lightsaber blades. However, nobody ever practices against the whip. Githany knows that her enemy's confusion at being confronted with the whip gives her an edge.
By telling me this secret, you've given up your advantage, Bane noted, smiling as he pointed to Kasim's double saber.
Only to a very small degree,
the Twi'lek said.
You now understand why an exotic weapon or unfamiliar style will be more difficult to defend against. But until you become an expert in a particular style, in the heat of combat, your mind will still struggle to grasp its limitations.
Bane kept pressing, eager to turn this new insight into something practical he could use.
So, by studying different styles, I could negate that advantage?
In theory. But time spent studying other styles is time away from mastering your own form. Your best progress will come from focusing more on yourself and less on your opponent.
Then why even bother telling me all this?
Bane blurted out, frustrated.
Knowledge is power, Bane. My purpose is to give you that knowledge. It is up to you to figure out how best to use it.
With those words, the Blade Master left him, heading down the temple stairs to steal a few hours of sleep before the morning sun rose. Bane remained behind, wrestling with the lesson until it was time to meet Githany in the archives. The smell of burning ozone wafted through the archives, filling Githany's nostrils as she watched Bane practicing his latest exercise. The room crackled and hissed as he channeled the energy of the Force and flung it about the room in great arcing bolts of blue-violet lightning. Githany stood with Bane at the center of a maelstrom. A fierce wind swirled around them, tearing at her hair and the folds of her robe. It rocked and shook the bookshelves, knocking manuscripts to the floor and rifling their pages. The air itself was charged with electricity, causing her skin to itch. In the midst of it all, Bane laughed, then raised his arms in triumph and launched another blast to ricochet off the far wall. Each time the lightning flared, the intensity of the flash burned Githany's retinas, causing her to shield her eyes. She noticed that Bane didn't look away. His eyes were wide and wild with the rush of power. The thunder was almost deafening, and the storm was still building. If Bane wasn't careful, the echoes would reach the levels above the archives, revealing their secret training ground to the rest of the academy. Moving carefully, Githany reached out and touched his arm. He snapped his head around to face her, and the madness in his eyes almost made her recoil. Instead, she smiled. "Very good, Bane!" she shouted, trying to make her voice heard above the din. "That's enough for today!" She held her breath in anticipation until he nodded and lowered his arms. Instantly, she felt the power of the storm abating. Within a few seconds, it was gone. Only the mess it had made remained.
I've never felt anything like that before,"
Bane gasped, his face still showing his exhilaration. Githany nodded. "It's a remarkable sensation," she agreed, "but you must be careful not to lose yourself in it." She was parroting the words of Master Cordis, who had taught her how to summon Force Lightning only a few days earlier. However, she had never conjured anything even approaching the majesty of what Bane had just unleashed. "You must maintain control, or you could find yourself swept up in the storm along with your enemies," she told him, trying to mimic the calm, slightly condescending tone the masters used with their apprentices. She couldn't let him know that he had already surpassed her in this new talent. She couldn't let him know that she had felt the cold grip of fear clutching at her during his performance. He looked around at the toppled shelves, taking in the books and scrolls strewn about the room. "We'd better clean this up before somebody sees it and wonders what happened in here." She nodded again, and the two of them set to restoring the archives to their previous state. As they worked, Githany couldn't help but wonder if she had made a mistake in allying herself with Bane. Only the top apprentices had been present when Cordis had taught them to use the dark side to corrupt the Force into a deadly storm. None of them, not even Sirach, had been able to create much more than a few jolts of energy that first day. Yet only an hour after being taught the technique by Githany, Bane had summoned enough energy to rip apart an entire room. This wasn't the first time Bane had taken a lesson she had taught him and exceeded her achievements on his first attempt. He was far stronger in the Force than she had realized, and he seemed to be growing more so each day. She worried that she might lose her control over him. She was careful, of course. She wasn't foolish enough to tell him everything she learned from the Sith Masters. Yet that didn't seem to be giving her an advantage over her pupil anymore. Sometimes she wondered if all his study of the ancient texts was actually giving him an advantage over her. Learning at the feet of a true master should be more beneficial than reading theoretical works written thousands of years earlier, unless the current-day Sith were somehow flawed. Unfortunately, she didn't know how she could test her theory. If she suddenly started spending hours each day in the archives, Bane would wonder what she was up to. He might decide that her teachings weren't as valuable as what he could learn on his own. He might decide she was expendable. And if it came down to a confrontation, she was no longer sure she could defeat him. But Githany prided herself on her adaptability. Her initial plan of keeping him as a subservient apprentice was no longer viable. She still wanted Bane on her side, though. He could prove to be a powerful ally, beginning with his killing Sirach. They worked in silence for the next hour, gathering up the books and straightening the shelves. By the time the room was restored to some semblance of order, Githany's back ached from the constant bending, lifting, and reaching. She collapsed into one of the chairs, giving Bane a tired smile. "I am exhausted," she said with an exaggerated sigh. He made his way over and stepped behind her, placing his large hands on her shoulders, just at the base of her long neck. He began to massage the muscles, his caress surprisingly gentle for a man so large. "That feels nice," she admitted. "Where did you learn to do this?"
"Working the Cortosis mines teaches you a lot about aches and pains," he replied, working his thumbs deep into her shoulder blades.
She gasped and arched her back, then went slowly limp as her muscles melted beneath his touch. He rarely spoke of his past life, though over their time together, she had pieced most of it together. In contrast, she had always been much more guarded with what she revealed about herself.
"You asked me once why I left the Jedi," she mumbled, feeling herself drifting away on the rhythmic pressure of his fingers on her neck. "I never told you, did I?"
We all have things in our past we would rather not revisit, he replied without stopping. I knew you would tell me when you were ready.
She closed her eyes and let her head fall back as he continued to knead her shoulders. My master was a Cathar, she said softly. Master Handa. I studied under him for almost as long as I can remember. My parents gave me over to the Order when I was just a toddler.
I've heard the Jedi care little for the bonds that hold families together.
They only care about the Force, she admitted after a moment's consideration. Worldly attachments, friends, family, lovers, cloud the mind with emotion and passion.
Bane chuckled, a deep, low sound she felt thrumming through the tips of his fingers. Passion leads to the dark side, or so I've heard.
It wasn't a joke to the Jedi, especially not to Master Handa. The Cathar are known as a hot-blooded species. He was always warning me and Keel about the dangers of giving in to our emotions.
Keel?
Keel Charney, another of Handa's Padawans. We often trained together. He was only a year older than me.
Another Cathar?
Bane asked. No, Keel was human. Over the years we became close. Very close. The slight increase in the pressure of his touch told her that Bane had taken in the full meaning of her words. She pretended not to notice. Keel and I were lovers, she continued. The Jedi are forbidden from forming such attachments. The Masters fear it will cloud the mind with dangerous emotions.
Were you really attracted to him, or just to the idea of disobeying your master?
She thought about it for a long time. A bit of both, perhaps, she said finally. He was handsome enough, strong in the Force. There was an undeniable attraction.
Bane only grunted in response. His hands had stopped massaging and were now resting on her neck.
Once we became lovers, it didn't take long for Master Handa to find out. Despite all his preaching about controlling emotion, I could tell he was furious. He commanded us to set our feelings aside and forbade us from continuing our relationship.
Bane snorted his contempt. Did he really think it would be that simple?
The Jedi see emotion as part of our bestial nature. They believe we must transcend our baser instincts. But I know passion is what makes us strong. The Jedi only fear it because it makes their Padawans unpredictable and difficult to control. Master Handa's reaction made me realize the truth. Everything the Jedi believed about the Force was a perversion of reality, a lie. I finally understood I would never reach my full potential under Master Handa. That was the moment I turned my back on the Order and began planning my defection to the Sith.
What about Keel Charney?
He was rubbing her shoulders once again, but his hands were a little rougher now. I asked him to come with me, she confessed. I told him we had a choice to make, the Jedi or each other. He chose the Jedi.
The tension in Bane's hands eased ever so slightly. Is he dead?
She laughed. Did I kill him, do you mean? No, he was still alive, the last I heard. He may have died battling the Sith on Rusan since then, but I didn't feel the urge to kill him myself.
Then I guess your feelings for him weren't as strong as you thought.
Githany stiffened. It might have been a joke, but she knew there was truth in Bane's words. Keel had been convenient. Though there was a physical attraction, he had become more than a friend, mostly because of her situation. Studying day and night with him under Master Handa, the pressure of living up to the unrealistic ideals of a Jedi, the stress of being trapped in the seemingly endless war on Rusan. Bane wringed her neck with his hands, his touch firm but not tight. He leaned down and whispered in her ear, causing her to shiver at the warmth and closeness of his breath.
When you finally betray me, I hope you care enough to try to kill me yourself.
She jumped up from the chair, slapping his hands away and spinning to face him. For a split second, she saw a self-satisfied expression on his face. Then it was gone, replaced by a look of apologetic concern.
I'm sorry, Githany. It was just a joke. I didn't mean to upset you.
I opened up a painful part of my past, Bane, she said warily. It's not something I want to make light of.
You're right, he said. I'll go.
She studied him as he turned and made his way out of the archives. He seemed genuinely sorry for what he'd said, as if he regretted hurting her. The perfect situation to give her the emotional leverage she had been looking for.